Your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read this morning again the context of where we are. I'm going to begin in verse 1 this morning and read through verse 21. But we're going to be focusing on verses 15 to 17. Verses 15 to 17. But follow along as I read in Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 21. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Again, we're going to be focusing on verses 15 to 17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Because of the evil days in which we live, and because we are to be lights in the midst of the evil and the darkness around us, we must pay careful attention to how we live, purposing to walk in wisdom and according to the will of God, and using our time for His glory. The apostle has been addressing the direction of our lives and the purpose of our lives as Christians. As those who have been saved by grace, we are now to pursue holiness. We are to walk in love. We are to walk as children of light since we're no longer in the darkness. And you can hear the urgency in Paul's admonition. There are many dangers and snares that we face in the world. The days are evil. There are many encumbrances. There are many sins which would entangle us. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, as it were, there's no time to waste. There's no time for unwise, foolish, and sinful living. Time is a gift from God. It's to be used for His glory. For our time on earth is brief. And therefore, our lives are to be thoughtful and careful and purposeful. Our lives should be consumed with doing the will of God. Instead of participating in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, we are to expose the darkness by our intentional lives, walking in the light and living in obedience to the will of God. So again, because of the days we live in, the evil days in which we live, And because we are to be lights in the midst of evil and darkness, we must pay careful attention to how we live, purposing to walk in wisdom and according to the will of God, using our time for His glory. Now, I want you to look at verses 15 to 17. I've summarized what the Apostle Paul is saying, but I want you to look as we interpret these verses and understand them and then apply them at the structure of the passage. In these three verses, there are three imperatives, two positive injunctions and one negative injunction. He says, do this twice, and he says, don't do this once. The first imperative is in verse 15, the positive injunction, be careful how you walk. Then he has a negative injunction or a prohibition in verse 17. Do not be foolish. But then you see the third imperative also in verse 17. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And so we have those three imperatives. Be careful how you walk. Do not be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Be careful how you walk. He ties that with what he has said. Therefore, at the beginning of verse 15, ties to what he has previously said. We're going to see why that's significant in a moment. He says, be careful how you walk, not this way, not as unwise men, but as wise. How are you careful? How can you be careful? Well, you need to make the most of your time. You need to be purposing to use your time wisely, redeeming the time, as we'll see. Then the prohibition in verse 17, do not be foolish. The negative injunction is contrasted with the positive injunction, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, the word therefore at the beginning of verse 15 and the words because the days are evil at the end of verse 16 give us two strong motivations for such a careful way of life. There are many reasons to be careful to walk in wisdom, using our time wisely and understanding the will of the Lord. But consider the two reasons we find in the immediate context. The first reason, again, is tied to the little word, therefore, in verse 15. That points back to what Paul has just said. What has he just said that we saw last week? You are light in the Lord. You're no longer in the darkness, but now because you have come to the one who is the light of the world, you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And one reason for doing so is that we might expose, he said, the darkness and expose those who are in the darkness, that some may awake from their spiritual slumber, see the one who is the true light, and be saved. And in that context, he says, therefore, be careful how you walk. There is an evangelistic instruction here. Be careful how you walk. You're lights in the world. And you're supposed to expose the darkness. And in the process of doing so, some will come to see their sin as well and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, the parallel passage to this is found in the book of Colossians. So if you would, hold your finger there in Ephesians 5 and turn over two books to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word. So the Apostle Paul is saying, pray, devote yourselves to prayer. And a part of your prayer should be this, pray for us. Pray that God would open up doors for the word. There's an evangelistic purpose in the praying here. So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And notice the instruction beginning in verse 5 that sounds very similar to what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. See the parallels there? Conduct yourselves with wisdom. Be careful how you walk, he says in Ephesians 5, not as unwise men, but as wise. Why? Because you need to make the most of the opportunity. That is, using your time wisely, redeeming the time. And it's here spoken of in the context of our relationship with unbelievers. Verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to respond to each person. He's saying those who are outside of Christ, those who are not believers, you need to be careful how you live. In Ephesians 5, he's saying you're lights in the world. Expose the darkness by the way you live. Use your time wisely. Make the most of your time. Here in Colossians, making the most of the opportunity. And so the therefore, back in Ephesians chapter 5, points back to what he has said. You are lights, expose the darkness, that some might awake from their slumber and see the glory of Christ as Savior. And so there is an evangelistic reason why they should be careful how they walk. We not only expose the darkness, as he says in Ephesians 5, verse 11 and verses 13 and 14, that those who do not know Jesus would be convicted of their sin, but also that our lives may be adorning to the gospel. We want to adorn and beautify the gospel of Jesus Christ by our lives. And therefore, be careful how you walk. How frequently has the name of Christ and the gospel been put in disrepute because those who name the name of Christ are not careful how they're living? So the Apostle Paul says, you're light in the world, walk that way so that you might expose the darkness, and therefore be careful how you live your lives. You want to adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. It sounds familiar if you look at other passages like Titus chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul says, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith. Why? Paul, why would you tell slaves to do that in relationship to their masters? So that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. The Apostle Paul is first and foremost concerned that every Christian in every circumstance walk in such a way and live in such a way as lights in a dark world, so that their lives may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Beautify the gospel. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, Paul writes, do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Sometimes we read those words and we simply say, oh, those are hard words. Do everything without grumbling and disputing. No complaining, no being argumentative. We're to do everything with a thankful heart. But Paul says, here's the reason. You prove yourselves when you do that to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So your life should be such that it is different and distinct from all the ungodliness around you. Yes, they will grumble and complain and dispute in the workplace and everywhere else, but you don't do that. It's a crooked and perverse generation. But you prove yourselves to be children of God by not grumbling and disputing. Be careful how you walk, we could say. Be careful not to complain. And Paul goes on to say in that passage, among whom, among this crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. Same thing we see here in Ephesians. Don't grumble and complain, because you're to hold out the word of truth. You're to hold it fast, and that can be translated to hold forth. By your lack of participation in the grumbling and disputing around you, you hold fast the word of life. And you appear as lights in the world. As Jesus said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Paul is simply saying that. He's just saying it in these words. Be careful how you walk. Why? The therefore says, because you're lights. Walk as children of light, that you may expose the darkness around you. And so as we are careful how we walk, walking in wisdom and according to the will of the Lord, we are giving testimony to the truth and power of the gospel. Remember, we are witnesses by our lips and our lives, by our words and our ways, by what we say and what we do. And we don't want there to be this contradiction between the two. We desire to walk in integrity and holiness so that we might not bring disrepute on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, be careful how you walk. For you are lights in a dark world, among whom those who need to see and hear the light of the gospel. And so that's one reason why we're to be careful how we walk. But another reason for being careful how we walk is found in verse 16. At the end of verse 16, he says, because the days are evil. He gives the reason very explicitly. Live this way. Be careful how you walk in wisdom, making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. We live in an evil day. The word evil simply means wicked and vile. Strong word. This fallen world is characterized by evil and sin. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says that Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. We live in an evil age. Now, there is an age to come when Jesus Christ returns, which will not be characterized by evil. On that day, there will be a resurrection to eternal life to those who know Jesus Christ, and there will be eternal condemnation, just retribution to those who do not obey the gospel. On that day, death will be defeated. The adversary, the devil, will be cast into the lake of fire, and the new heaven and the new earth will then be inaugurated without the curse of sin. But for now, we live in a world full of wickedness and sin and evil. We live in an evil day. We live in a world which is opposed to God and seeks to conform us to its sinful way of life. In verses 3 and 4 of Ephesians 5, the list of sins Christians are not to participate in demonstrates the evil character of this world as it is now. That immorality and impurity and greed and filthiness and coarse jesting and silly, foolish talk, that is what characterizes this present evil age. The Apostle John says this world's characterized by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. It's an evil age. As I just read in Philippians 2:15, it is a crooked and perverse generation. Hold your finger again in Ephesians chapter 5 and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It is such a wicked and evil world. This present evil age is of such a nature that even Timothy himself was discouraged by such things and needed exhortation and encouragement from the Apostle Paul. He needed to be reminded of certain truths. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, but realize this, know this, Timothy, and don't forget this. It's important for you to be reminded again that in the last days, difficult times will come. The word difficult means even violent, perilous times. Paul is saying to Timothy, don't forget the last days, which I won't take the time to show you this exegetically now, but the last days, referring to the first coming of Christ, to the second coming of Christ, will be difficult, he says. They're going to be violent and perilous times. Why? Verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Paul is saying to Timothy, we live in evil days. And the result of that is that there is going to be difficult times. He then goes on to speak in verse 8 of those who will oppose the truth, even as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. So these men also oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. It's going to be difficult. It's an evil day because there's going to be opposition to the truth. And he goes on to say in verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We live in an evil day. Well, maybe it will get better. 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. You need to be careful how you walk because we live in days that are evil. The world is opposed to Jesus Christ and his people. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. So Jesus goes on to speak of persecution that will take place for Christians. And not only is there the danger because of the world, but there is an adversary, the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's an evil day. The world is pressing upon you, trying to squeeze you into its mold, conform you to its image. There's persecution from the world that's characterized by crookedness and perversion. And now there's an adversary who is seeking to devour you. We live in an evil day. Paul will talk about this in Ephesians 6. Beginning in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist, he says, in the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm. There's an adversary. There's a spiritual battle taking place. As Martin Luther said, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. If we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus, ask who that may be, Christ Jesus, it is he, and he must win the battle. See, saints of old have recognized that it is an evil day we live in. A fallen world, an evil day, a world that's trying to squeeze us into its mold. An adversary who would seek to devour us. As the hymn writer said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. There are many enemies, pitfalls, obstacles, and dangers. How do you live in the midst of an evil day such as that? Paul says, be careful how you walk. It's like when we say to our children, when they drive off in that car and we know the dangers that are out there and we have faced them in the past. And now they're going out into there and we say, be careful. Be careful. Watch out. There are dangers out there. Here Paul is saying, it is an evil day we live in, and that is the reason why you must be careful how you walk. Don't be unwise, but wise. Don't squander your time. Redeem the time. Make the most of your time. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is the way you stand in an evil day. And so realizing that the days are evil should cause us to purposely walk wisely and carefully. So that is his instruction again. This is the fifth time now from chapter 4, verse 1, that Paul has again exhorted them to walk in a particular way. Again, remember in chapter 4, verse 1, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. In verse 17 of chapter 4, no longer just as the Gentiles walk, not the way you used to live. Instead, in chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love. In chapter 5, verse 8, walk as children of light. And now he says again, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Not foolishly, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not getting drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit. And so through the rest of his letter, he tells us, here's how you walk carefully, wisely, and according to the will of God. In the home, as parents, as children, in our relationships, he tells us, here's how you walk carefully and wisely and in accordance with the will of God. Brethren, I want you to understand how important it is that you give careful attention to how you live your life. If you walk carelessly and aimlessly, then you'll fall prey to the evil of this world. It is an evil, wicked day we live in. And so his exhortation is this, be careful. Be careful in verse 15. There are actually two words in the Greek here, a verb and an adverb, that really means watch carefully. It's a word that means to take notice, to see something for what it is, and therefore to act upon what you see. Sometimes it means beware or take heed, watch out, because there's danger. And again, he uses that particular Greek word here because there is a danger, because the days are evil. So be alert. Keep your eyes open. Be careful. The adverb in the Greek, literally watch carefully, means that you're characterized by exactness and thoroughness. And putting those two Greek words together conveys the idea of a thorough examination of one's life and use of time. Give attention to, he says. Consider, think about, be careful and purposeful in how you live. It implies spiritual alertness. You see, we can't walk with apathy and lethargy or spiritual slumber. We must be awake and zealous and alert. How much time did you think about how you're living this week? Did you give any thought to what you're doing and why and how you're living and why? Did you purpose to live wisely and according to the will of God? Because the day is evil. I think of the warnings of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews 2, verse 1. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Or Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Or in Hebrews chapter 12, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. See, there are dangers. It's an evil day. Be careful how you walk. When a Christian gets caught in and enslaved by sin, how does that usually happen? When a Christian begins to stray, how does that usually take place? It usually happens by not being careful about how you walk. You let your guard down. You're not as spiritually alert. You stop being diligent to read your Bible, seeking to obey what it says. You stop praying as much as you should. You compromise a little here or there. You stop fellowshipping with the people of God. You don't avail yourself to the teaching and preaching of God's word as you should. You're tired, so you rationalize not coming to hear the word taught in Sunday school. You don't attend communion that Christ himself has said, do this in remembrance of me. And it goes on and on. You're not walking carefully and purposely, intentionally seeking to do the commandments of God for your spiritual good. And then you realize you've drifted. Paul says, be careful how you walk. Give attention to how you're living your life. Don't just aimlessly go through day by day with no thought. How can I walk carefully then? Paul says by walking wisely. Not as unwise men in verse 15, but as wise. Walking unwisely would be to walk carelessly and haphazardly and thoughtlessly, aimlessly. I've used the illustration before of blowing up a balloon without tying it off and letting it go, and the balloon flies around aimlessly through the air. It's funny when we do that and our children enjoy that and get a kick out of that. It's not funny when it's our lives. Instead, we're to be like an arrow pulled tight on its bow and aim precisely at its target. We're not to walk as unwise men, but as wise. That means disciplined, purposeful life, seeking the glory of God through obedience to his will. We're to walk wisely. Where does that begin? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Walking wisely in regard to evil is described this way in Proverbs. And that's part of what Paul's saying. It's an evil day. You have all this evil around you. Don't participate. Don't be partakers in those things. Be careful how you walk. Walk wisely. What does that look like? Proverbs 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Proverbs 14, verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. You see the contrast between a wise man and a foolish man? The wise man's cautious. When he sees evil, he turns away from it. The fool is arrogant and careless. He says, oh, I can handle that, no problem. He's careless in how he lives his life. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. You see this theme throughout Proverbs that is a book of wisdom. How do I walk wisely? Turn away from that which is evil. Proverbs 27, verse 12, a prudent man seeks evil and hides himself. The naive proceed and pay the penalty. See, a wise man sees evil. He says, I got to get as far away from it as I can. I'm going to hide myself from that. The naive says, oh, I can handle this. It's okay. They're walking carelessly, haphazardly. They proceed toward evil, and in the end, they pay the penalty. We're to walk wisely by turning away from evil. That is how we can be careful how we walk. But also by using our time wisely. He says in verse 16, making the most of your time. This is how you're careful in how you walk. Someone who doesn't think about the use of time very much, who's haphazard in the use of time, is not careful in how they're walking. Making the most of your time. Maybe you have the old King James that says, redeeming the time. For the word here, making the most of, is the word for to redeem, to buy, to purchase. John MacArthur said this, we are to redeem, buy up all the time we have and devote it to the Lord. It's the idea that I've been given time, I want to take that and I want to possess it in order that I might use it for a right and godly purpose. We're to make the most of our time. We're called to see how valuable time is, that once used, it can't be regained. And therefore, we must be careful how we use it by purposing and planning to use it wisely. For time is short. We don't have much time here on the earth. So be careful how you walk, making the most of your time. Recall James 4, verse 14 says, "You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Your life is nothing but a vapor, a mist. It's like steam coming from the stove that then is gone. It's like a breath of cold air, a blip on the radar, we say. It appears for a little while comparatively, and then inevitably, it disappears. It's gone. It's over." James says that's what your life is like. That's how transitory you are. As Psalm 102, verse 11 says, "My days are like a lengthened shadow, and I wither away like grass." The scripture often compares our lives, our flesh, to grass that withers and fades and quickly goes away. We're frail, we're fleeting, we're transitory and temporary. The hymn says, "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day." Our lives are like a vapor. Our time is short. We sing the hymn, "I set my gaze on God alone and trust in Him completely. With every day pour out my soul, and He will prove His mercy. Though life is but a fleeting breath, a sigh too brief to measure, my King has crushed the curse of death, and I am His forever." That hymn acknowledges the fleeting nature of our lives. We who are frail, whose lives are fleeting, transitory, and temporary, are to live for the glory of God who is eternal. Then our lives have eternal significance. And that's what Paul is saying. Be careful how you walk. How can I be careful? Walk wisely and make the best use of your time. Don't waste your time. Be purposeful in the use of your time. As Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom." That's how you walk carefully. Steve Lawson has written of Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses' petition, "God, teach us to number our days." That is, man must be taught by God to number his days here on earth because they are few. He must weigh them and value them. Because God has numbered man's days, so all men must do the same. Then he will be able to present to God a heart of wisdom. Man must be careful not to waste his life in temporal frivolities, but to invest it in eternity. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, making the most of your time. John MacArthur said this, "We have only the time allotted by God, and none of us knows when it will run out. Every Christian life runs by His divine timetable and against His divine clock. We do not know how long He will hold open the door of a given opportunity or of our entire time of service. Be careful how you walk," Paul counsels. "Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. God gives us many things without limit, His love, His grace, and many others. But His gift of time is strictly measured. So be careful how you walk. Make the most of your time." Horatius Bonar said it this way, "Redeem the time. Much of your progress depends on this. Be men of method and punctuality. Waste no moments. Have always something to do and do it. Use up the little spaces of life, the little intervals between engagements." What Horatius Bonar is saying is don't waste a second of your life. Be purposeful in how you use it. George Mueller, who was known for waking up early in the morning to pray, said this, "Someone may ask, but why should I rise early?" He says, "To remain long in bed is a waste of time. Wasting time is unbecoming of a saint who is bought by the precious blood of Jesus. His time and all he has is to be used for the Lord. If we sleep more than is necessary for the refreshment of the body, it is wasting time the Lord has entrusted to us to be used for his glory, for our own benefit, and for the benefit of the saints and unbelievers around us." Be careful how you walk, making the most of your time. How are you investing your time? Because time is like an investment. You don't spend it. You should think of it as, I'm investing it. You can waste it, or you can use it to multiply glory to God in and through your life. And so the question we ought to ask is, what is God's will for the use of my time? And when we say the use of our time, what we mean is really for our lives. What is God's will for how I use my life? That's walking carefully. That's walking carefully. 1 Peter chapter 4, the apostle encourages believers and exhorts them, stop using your time for those things that you once lived in. He tells them to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That's what Paul is saying here. Don't be foolish. Don't live for the lust of men, as he says in verse 17, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Peter just says it this way, live the rest of your time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, for foolishness, but for the will of God. You once were characterized by living for the lust of the flesh, dominated by those things. He says, no longer. Our desire now should be the will of God. The rest of your time in the flesh should no longer be for the lust of men. From this point on, from your salvation on, make the most of your time. And Peter is saying, basically what Paul is saying here, he's saying, stop wasting it. You've wasted it long enough. Think of the years of futility before you were saved. You wasted those years. Don't do it any longer. The rest of your time on earth, which is brief and like a vapor, make the most of it to the glory of God. Your time of reveling in sin in the past as an unbeliever was enough. Don't live foolishly anymore. Robert Layton, a Scottish Presbyterian minister from the 17th century, says this, "Now, says the Christian, corrupt lust and deluding world, I have served you for too long. The rest of my life must be given over to the Lord, to live for him through whom I live. What strength I have and what time I have, through his grace, will be wholly his." Make the most of your time. That's how you can be careful how you walk. Paul sums it up in verse 17 by simply saying this, "So then, do not be foolish. Don't be unwise and foolish. Stop living for things that are temporal. Stop living for sinful things, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's another way that you walk carefully, not only walking wisely and making the most of your time, but also by understanding what the will of the Lord is. The word understand here means to know, to gain insight into, to perceive, to grasp. He is saying you need to know what the will of God is. But this isn't, again, knowing just to know. This is knowing and understanding for the purpose of doing. Because knowing and doing the will of God is the characteristic of a Christian, isn't it? He doesn't want to just hear the word. He wants to do the word. He wants to understand. He's consumed with what is God's will. He has saved me by his grace. Ephesians 2:10, I'm his workmanship. I've been created in Christ Jesus now to use my life for his glory, for good works, which he created that I should walk in them. The Christian now seeking to walk carefully to the glory of God says, God, what is your will? 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. And the Christian will be consumed with the will of God, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of his mind so that what? He may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul will talk about this in Ephesians 6, verse 6, when he again gives instruction to the Christian slave. And he says that he is to ultimately do all that he does for the glory of God. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In essence, he's saying, we live in a perverse and crooked generation. We live in an evil day. But you, Christian, in the midst of all that around you and all the darkness, you can live to the glory of God by doing the will of God from the heart. What Paul is talking about here in verse 17 is not trying to find out the sovereign or secret will of God. He is saying, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. That is the preceptive will of God, the moral will of God, the revealed will of God. That all refers to the same thing. What God has given us in this book should be what consumes the Christian so that he understands and grasps what God has revealed, what is his will for the Christian and how he should live his life so that then he may do it. And in so doing, walk carefully, wisely, using his time to the glory of God. Delighting in the law of the Lord and doing what it says. See, the one who is careful about how he walks and lives, not as unwise, but as wise, the one who is using time wisely to the glory of God, knowing that the days are evil, not being foolish and pursuing sinfulness, but knowing and doing the will of God. This is the one who will be a light in the midst of darkness. This is the one that will expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness, that some might see the glorious gospel and be saved. And this is the one who will honor and glorify God to the very last breath until he sees his Savior face to face. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray together. Father, forgive us because we are prone to and maybe have even this week at times walked thoughtlessly, carelessly, without purpose, not even giving much thought or attention to how we're living our lives. Father, may it not be true of our lives. Father, may we repent and be careful how we walk. Father, I pray that you would convict us of our unwise use of time. Father, may we use time as a precious commodity to be used for your glory. Father, remind us, and may we live in light of the fact that our lives are brief, our time is short. In fact, we don't even know how long that time is. But Lord, I pray that we would use the time that we have that has been allotted to us by you, not for ourselves, not for lusts, not for sin, but for you and for your glory. Father, may we be consumed, not with sin, but with understanding and doing your will. For you are our Lord and our Savior. Father, may that be the characteristic of this church and the believers in it for your glory. Father, we thank you today for this time that we have to gather here and now to have a meal together. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, time and again that is precious to us, and a unique day and time that we can fellowship together. Father, may you bless our time of fellowship around your what you have provided for us. Thank you for our daily bread. Father, thank you for the breath that we have, the ability to communicate. May the words of our mouths, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Father, be pleased with our time this afternoon, we pray, as we use our time to minister to others, to sing of your grace, and to proclaim the gospel to those who may not know you, to those who do not always even have visitors, to widows and widowers. Father, may we be lights in that place. Father, I pray that we would be careful how we walk this week as we go about our way in work and at school and at home. Father, may it not be wasted, but may it be invested that you may receive glory and honor in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand together for a benediction.